Before I begin the message, I want to tell you what next week's message is going to be, because I'll forget later. I know that. Was Jesus bullied? Was Jesus bullied? You betcha. So you can appreciate the bullying that's going on in the schools and in life. Good portion of us probably are victims of some of it. It has long fingers, but God's extension is farther. Thank God for that. So that'll be next week. And it'll be here like that. Every week, Sunday comes faster to me. But that's okay, I love Sunday. Filling the gap for souls. Say you have a big hole, I mean a huge hole, in your home. You gonna walk around with a caulking gun? You know what those remind me of, even though they're not exactly the same thing? They remind me of going to Subway sandwiches. And they put all the condiments on them, which I don't take. When they say, do you want mayonnaise? I go, oh, oof, please no, nothing. That's what that reminds me of. You'd be there all day and a million years to try to fill a hole with that. Now, he's got another picture coming. Here's a bridge. And here's a beautiful bridge. I like it. Looks like it's got a pretty good crack in there, though. What happens when you have cracks? As I tell you, there's a structural problem someplace. How many want to be on that bridge when that structure has a problem? Anybody remember the 35W bridge collapse?
Yes.
Remember that? The interesting thing to me, actually not unlike the one that was in Cincinnati, it actually was under construction. Do you know when things fail? A lot of times when they're under construction, even though there's not as much traffic on it, thank God. But they're working on it. But they're working on stuff that could have been failed from the beginning, which I think was the case on our lovely stuff. So I was thinking about the bridge. What's a bridge? You go from one side to the other to come to safety because there's a big chasm below you. And unless you're an extremely good diver and a wonderful swimmer and there's not some rock or something below to break your fall, it's a dangerous place. So you need a bridge. Next frame. Isn't that a beautiful bridge? Yeah. Don't be doing all that other stuff where they jump off and hang off stuff. You know, that's just dangerous. But at any rate, you need stability beneath the bridge, right? You need stability. Every one of those footings, everything that's underneath it is imperative to keep it up, to keep it going. We have a world where people are on this side, they're unsaved, they don't know the Lord, they're not following Christ. They need to get to the other side of the bridge. How can they get there when there's all kinds of cracks and there's all kinds of gaps and there's all kinds of problems? They can't. There has to be reinforcement. There has to be those that fill the gap. And the scripture calls that prayer and intercession. Do you know when you pray for someone to get saved, you don't just say, well, Lord, save them. Okay, we do want them saved. Do you know what intercession is? It means you literally stand in the gap for that name. Like Moses said, Lord, if it were possible, take my name out, because it's so important that they know the gospel. Now, we don't want God to take away from us. I'm just saying the importance of salvation is such that it can't just be an addendum. It can't just be something we add on to our prayers. It's imperative. It's more than that. Ezekiel, Old Testament, 13:1-9. Great portion of scripture. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who are now prophesying, and say to those who prophesy out of their own imagination, hear the word of the Lord. Going back to the pulpit, you have any idea how many messages come out of pulpits that are not from God? They're out of the images of their heart. They're out of their thought. They're out of their self-help or whatever the case might be. They may be even out of what, and I've asked for choices, and I love that, and I've enjoyed that, and I'll continue to do it. But I can tell you that when I get a choice, I pray, Lord, which one do you want to come forth? And how do you want it to be presented? It's his word. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his. And there's a lot of imaginations that come over the pulpit that were not birthed at the throne of God. So he says, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among ruins, meaning they go in and they decimate and find profit over the houses that are destroyed, over the lives that are demolished. And so he'd be very careful when anybody in any ministry of any sort writes to you and says, I'm going to pray for you, but send me money first. Hey, there are widows out there that can't pay their rent, and other people are living high off the hog. I got news for you. They're going to have to answer for that. They really are. Not that God doesn't judge the widow because she did it out of a good heart, but it's still profiting off of the ruin and difficulty of the individuals. God does not want us to profit. He wants us to be a prophet for his truth and for his life. And he says, you have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false and their divinations a lie. They say the Lord declares when the Lord has not sent them. I've always been careful in my Christian life never to say the Lord said this, unless I really knew it in my spirit and impressed me, because I feel that's talking on behalf of God when, if he hasn't given it to me, I'm lying, basically. And I don't want to do that. So, yet, they expect their words to be fulfilled. They expect their words to be fulfilled, even though they've not been given by God. Have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Because of your false words and lying visions, I'm against you, declares the sovereign Lord. This is Yahweh it's talking about. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people or be listed in the record of the house of Israel. That sounds serious to me. Nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. Then I'm going to run over here to Ezekiel 22:30. Another portion which struck me. And I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. None. Not one person. Of course, I believe, when you consider it all in the whole spectrum of the scripture, the reason he didn't find anybody, other than the fact that nobody was following him then, is he was going to be the one who fully stood in the gap. He is the one that has cleaned up and cleared that chasm. Without the cross, we're never going to get there. So that's the ultimate statement. But in the short run, God was not happy. So how many of you have ever built a bridge? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever used a bridge? How many play bridge? No. I don't. My game's 500. Anyway, and my sister don't want to be my partner. So, She loves me except for those few hours. Anyway, so I was reading about just some of the things you have to do before you build a bridge. First of all, the red tape. Isn't everything full of red tape? Oh, there's required planning, especially over waterways that are under the jurisdiction of several different agencies. So you got to play nice. These agencies regulate flood control, water quality, fish habitat, etc., and each has to be satisfied. Talk about your politics. Telling you, you got to give them an awful lot of desserts for that one, folks. I don't know. A lot of red tape. But if you're going to build a bridge, it should be taken care of. It should be proper. Everything should be in its place. Secondly, they come and survey it. And then the community has input. You know, this is one of the things of the last 30 years of the surveys, which are lovely. It's nice to know what people think. But, you know, there are people that don't do any, and the government's great for this. They send out a statement telling you what they're going to do, and they're secretly just wanting to see what kind of backlash they get, so if they're going to institute it or not. How many know as a Christian, truthfully, what people think is irrelevant? God tells you to do something, you do it. I'm not saying you can't ask people, because you should, but if you wait for community input on everything, you're never going to have, it's never going to happen. Because there's always going to be one lone person that says, I think people should just be able to swim better. That's what I think. So after you get all that, of course, you need the engineering and you need all the specifications. You need all those horrible little pieces that say an eighth and a twelfth and a thin. Kind of like when they talked about that, I think it was a walkway. I think it was Kansas City many, many years ago when it collapsed. And they said because it was not the right length. They didn't square it, and it wasn't the right length. Can you imagine putting together a public walkway and not having it squared and properly fitted? Ugh, just kills me. I mean, like you ain't going to notice it when they all plummet to the ground? What's going to give it away? All the lawsuits. So after you get approval, assuming you do from all the parties, then you begin to build the sub-base for the foundation. Has to be shaped, compacted, and all the other things that will need to be done. So when you're talking about filling the gap for souls, there's a bridge that's already been prepared, and it's called the cross. And it extends beyond the chasm. It will take you where you start, and it will take you where God is leading you. Don't worry about where you come from, because the real importance is where you're going. That's the importance. So, to fill the gap for souls, three things. The red tape needs to turn to the red blood of Jesus. That's the only thing that's going to bring us in that place. And if you're going to survey the site, do one of my favorite hymns, Survey the Wondrous Cross. Look at its dimensions. Keep an eye. Get closer to the grain and to the focus of the Master and the wood that was prepared, and the carpenter that ended up on it. And then build the church's one foundation. That is the bridge. No question about it. So, the scripture here, I'm going to just point out a couple of them. In the fifth verse, I know you get nervous if I read a whole long list and you think I'm going to do a word study on the whole thing. God bless you, but I won't do that to you. I'll do it to Duane, but I won't do it to other people. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel. You know the first problem with the people? They didn't want to go higher. Everybody wants God to come down here. Well, he did in the incarnation. He came down here to die for us. He came down here to live a perfect life. He came down here to resurrect. He came down here to tell us he's coming back for us, which I think is a great message. It's time for us to go up higher, to go deeper in our relationship to Christ as a believer. We should be going higher. Jesus should be our focus every day. I told the board the other night, I know I've mentioned it in church, the most important thing I can do as the pastor of this church is to go higher in Jesus. That's more important than anything else I do. Because I can only lead as far as I've come. And if I don't worship, and if I don't spend time with the Lord, and if I don't have my own devotion to Him that goes higher, the rest of it will fall flat. And I know it will. We need to go higher. The Hebrew word Allah means to ascend and to climb. And last I heard, climbing is work. That's why I don't hike. Okay? I want a chauffeured limousine. Thank you. But it takes effort to climb. We need to go higher. Not be high-minded, but to go higher in our Savior. Why? Because there are gaps. And this is not in the singular, it's in the plural. There's a whole lot of gaps. Not in the cross, not in the message of salvation, but in the church and in the preparation and the presentation of that wonderful message. Who in the Bible does God get more upset with? Who did Jesus have a bigger problem with? Religion, religious leaders. Why? Because they think they know better than God. That'd be like someone coming into your house and saying, okay, Dennis, we're going to do it this way. Now I know he's a loving person, and I don't see steam out of his ears very often. So I know it's not possible. But if someone comes into your house and tries to tell you what to do, I think you might just be a little annoyed. Imagine how God feels. Gaps. The Hebrew word means a breach, a bursting forth. Comes from a word that means to break through, and it really means a breakage in the covenant with God. And you know what happens when a break comes? All the water rushes in, or all of the junk, whatever's there. It just totally decimates everything. You ever seen it? You bet you have. When a dam breaks or whatever it is, and you see all that junk, it's kind of like if you live down in New Orleans, which I think is an interesting town, but since it's above sea level, when they've had floods, because everything is just right there, the coffins are floating down the street. Hey, you don't have to go pay your last respects. They're just going to come right by your front door. You kidding? Yikes. To break through when something is not built and founded and continued on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it has no ability to stay together. What they would do is they would put little forms here and there in the Old Testament in this portion to try to keep that wall together. And when you do that, it can't sustain the elements. It cannot. Only God knows what's coming down the pike. And everything He provides for, we can sustain. Did you know that? When the Lord calls a person, even the Chinese folk that are having difficulty in their stance for Christ, God is giving them grace to get through, because in the natural they wouldn't be able to. So, these breaks in the covenant and the structure of God need to be replaced by ascending to the Lord in prayer and devotion and full, absolute yielding and submission to Christ. How many of you go to your prayer closet with a list of everything you want, and you leave before God says, now here's what I'd like? That's what a relationship is. A conversation. And so we're out the door and God hasn't even said anything yet. In fact, you haven't even heard His answer. And I'd certainly be in the same category on occasion. The Bible says here, the wall was not maintained. That's a dangerous thing. The Hebrew word means a hedge and a wall. And it means that it's not been built up or repaired. Maybe looks nice, but it's going to crumble. It's going to do damage. When in Cincinnati last week, the overpass collapsed, they were actually tearing it down. And the whole thing collapsed. And one of the workers died. man with four children, and his wife. It's always damaging and it's always disconcerting when it's under construction or there's work on the bridge. Folks, God is working on the bridge, but so is the enemy trying to tear it down. And that's why we need to be in prayer. We need to be humble in our heart. We need to gather together for support and prayer, not try to hang on to it ourselves. And the Lord will bring us through. It's a dangerous place to be on the other end of that water that's pushing through or whatever's coming. And it says, you have not gone up, you have not stood in that place. And that Hebrew word, amad, means to take your stand and to stand up. The Arabic is interesting. It means prop up and support it. Did you know that you can support something by mouth and tear it down by your actions? You can do that. Like you can say, I do on one side, and say, you drive me nuts on the other. Which one has more force? This one, to tear down. And the other thing I wanted to mention is nobody can stand for you. Yes, we can support each other, but each of us have a standing in Jesus Christ if we're a believer. We have the capability to stand when we get our eyes off ourselves. We can stand in the hardest place. Let's go higher. Secondly, we need to adjust the wording. Part of the pouring out of the judgment of God and the breakage through the walls and through all of this in this time is this reason, because they were false prophets preaching things that were not given by God. And the first word, it means it's vanity, it means vain, it means something that's empty. Remember in the first couple verses of the Bible in Genesis, it said, and the earth was form and void, formless and void, and the Holy Spirit moved over the face of the waters, and he brought form and life to it. You're not going to get that from any other spirit in the world. You're just going to get chaos. And let me tell you that false prophets go to church. They do, because they know in church people are generally seeking God. If you're going to go give a message, you're going to go find people that are hungry for it and that are believers and that trust people. Listen to your spirit, folks. Somebody says something, I don't care who it is, that's not scriptural. Don't eat it. Do not eat it. Pray for that person who gave it, who told it to you, yes, but never eat it. It's not your message. It's not from God. Empty words. I was reading about a Christian artist. Well, he's not a Christian anymore, apparently. George Perdiccas. Sounds an awful lot like perdition to me. But anyway, Newsboy co-founder has turned to atheism. He's not the only one. A lot of them in the Christian market are doing that. He said, of all the bands that he has traveled with or knows out there, he said, 1 in 10 Christian bands are Christian. Now, you can call that a tithe to God if you want, but it's a terrible, terrible percentage. Diane got the joke, okay. These prophets are all blow and no show. I mean, there's no reality here. When I was talking a number of months ago about the wheat and the tares, do you remember what the tares are? They have a black grain, and they look exactly like wheat, but there's no substance. They just, whoosh, they're gone. The wheat and the tares grow up in the church. That's where they are. They're not out in the world. And everybody needs to know their own salvation in Jesus Christ. Here, empty words, lying words, divination, all kinds of things that have happened back here. The word vanity in the Hebrew, shav, means emptiness of speech, nothingness. You know, sometimes the longer people speak, the less they say. And I can say that because I used to talk a lot longer. Now I just continue it afterwards. But at any rate, then it said divination. The Hebrew word is, this is false prophets, but what the word means is witchcraft, divination, and a divine sentence. Look in the word divination and you will see the counterfeit to the divine. And there are all kinds of ways that divination works. It works in spiritism. It works in all kinds of ways where people, you know, can be fortune telling. It can be somebody coming with the Ouija board. It can be just downright lies. And they speak on behalf of God. And for the people in our world, they should be actually blessed and thankful that God didn't absolutely destroy them for taking his word and doing such disservice to it. I've said it before, if you've ever had a history of anything in the occult, please go through the word of God, renounce every bit of it, I don't care what it is, and give God the power back in your life. Because that will suck the life right out of you. It will always be fighting God. Then it goes on to something that none of us have anything to do with, but we'll say it just because it's in the Bible. Lying. How many know a small lie and a big lie? They're the same lie. You know the old saying, it's like saying you're just a little pregnant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try to get by that one. Well, I was thinking about the abominations in the book of Proverbs. Remember that? Remember number two on the hit list? A lying tongue. And you know, there are people that lie just when it's as easy to tell the truth. They just don't like to tell the truth. Lying, by the way, comes right after pride. So what does that tell you? Pride is telling God to take a back seat. I'm in charge. God doesn't take it well. And then the lying. Right behind that is what I talked about last week. Hands that shed innocent blood. America is all over these verses. Heart devising wickedness. Feet that are quick to mischief. Deceitful witness that utters lies. And here's one you don't hear much about. Sows discord among the brethren. One of the absolute abominations of God is gossip and slander. On the one hand, I love this person. On the other hand, her. That's a sowing that will reap the whirlwind. It will hurt them. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt the body of Christ. It's a fire that burns up good things. Lying, the Hebrew word, means falsehood and to lie. It's deceptive. Did you know that Eve in the Garden of Eden, she was deceived, but it was the seed of lying. And what happened? What happened because of it? Well, the good news is we got the cross because God knew it was going to happen. The Bible says in here, we need to follow instead the good example of God and his word. Not speak where we cannot speak and should not speak. Not speak empty things. Continue to go higher in our relationship to Christ, because that's important. I'm telling you, the world is not going to believe what you say if what you do does not match up with it. They're going to look at you and go, you're a liar like everybody else. I thought you were a Christian. People do watch. I mean, that's the only time they mention Christianity is to indict you, but at least they're watching. And the Bible says in the 10th verse, it was talking about the false prophets that seduce and deceive. The only way you can get people to believe your message is to wrap them in, draw them in, seduce them in, draw them. It's a bait and switch, kind of like in sales. But what are you selling? You're selling deceit. What a horrible message. What a horrible gift. It's not a gift. It's actually something else. And so the Lord sought for someone else to fill that gap. Because on the one side to the other side, people got to get across it. They got to get to the good news of the gospel. They got to get to the safety. in Jesus Christ. And they can't when all of these things are in place. And if you don't think that today's church in general, not all churches, but in general, there's really a thread to disregard the Word of God, to take the cross right off the wall. There are churches that are doing that. They are also taking out the blood of Jesus. You take out the blood, you don't have remission of sins, you're not a Christian. You have defied Calvary. So, Ezekiel, the book written between 622 and 600 BC, long time before any of us were born, rebuked Israel in its captivity. Can you imagine God hitting you when you're down? When's the times you really go to prayer more? When you're down. But you know what God knows? We don't look up unless we're down. A lot of times. He knows he has to get our attention. He didn't want me to be in the bottom, but they had a hardness of heart, the Bible says, and a rebellion. And he's talking primarily to the false prophets. He's talking to the leaders. Judgment begins where? House of God. And I guarantee you, God will come in the front door. He won't come in the back. But the collapse of that overpass, they are taking it down, and absolute destruction near Cincinnati. You know what they're trying to do across the world in the church and outside of the church? They're trying to change the words. They're trying to change the doctrine. They're trying to change the foundation. And Jesus Christ is strangely irrelevant to most of them. But there's no name under heaven whereby you must be saved. You change the nature of Jesus Christ, you do not have a Savior. You do not have a coming King. You do not have a Lord and Savior. And so what God wants us to do is to stand in the gap. He wants us to go higher in Him. He wants us to speak truth and to be people of truth. He wants us to know Him and not listen to the voices out there, because they're getting pretty loud, I think. And it's really disconcerting. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a moment, and then we're going to sing. Heavenly Father, we think today, Lord, of the people that are drowning out there, that are lost. The Bible says that they are the walking dead. It's kind of like the Night of the Living Dead, the movie where the zombies come back and they're walking around. People that don't know Christ are dead. And their stench comes up to the presence of God. But Lord, in your grace and mercy, you have provided a way for them to get across the bridge. And that is so that as we, as your believers, we don't save them. We're not the structure of it. But Lord, you've asked us to stand in the gap in prayer and intercession, and to put our life on the line if necessary to do so. You've asked us, Lord, to stand for you, to be footings in this world. And one of us can't do it. We all must do it. Why? Because the life of a family member, a person in this room, or someone we'll never meet in this life is at risk. It's that imperative. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would remind us that every day there are people slipping into the chasm. And they think there's hope on the other side. The hope is on this side in Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Father, to take your word and apply it for your glory and for our blessing and for our strengthening as we are in this world. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're here today and you're not sure that you've safely gotten across the bridge, you're still trying to work your way to God or wondering if He loves you at all, or if there's any doubt or question in your heart, the Lord wants you to be absolutely sure. The Bible says these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. And it's in the blood of Jesus. God went through all the detail to build a bridge that would stand. And it will stand. But we must yield to it. We have to say yes, or it doesn't change our eternity at all. And if you're here, I just want you to slip your hand up so I can pray for you. I don't want to assume anything, any place. Make sure that you are all safe in God's hands. Secondly, if you're here and you'd say, you know, I do pray for people, but maybe I don't intercede enough. If somebody was in the water somewhere, we'd be in a vigil all day long for them to be rescued. But we can't see the devastation of hell. We can't see the devastation that's coming. But God does, and He imparts it into our heart. If you're here today and you'd say, I really want to fill the gap, not with my works or myself, but with prayer and intercession and going higher in Jesus Christ. And I want to do that because people are lost. And you raise your hand as God looks at your heart. And as we close, we're going to sing Rescue the Perishing. Heavenly Father, I pray for every hand that was lifted. Lord, there's only one thing any of us need to see, and that is the gap in that structure and the lives of the people that are on the journey. And at any moment, that bridge could collapse and this world come to an end. And they have no hope. Lord, this isn't a message of fear, it's a message of faith. Trusting you for what you've called us to do, to be a light and salt in this world. Father God, we pray for the salvation of our family members. We pray for the salvation of those that have come in and out of this church for years, perhaps, or just newly here. Lord, for the mailman, for anyone, Lord, that darkens the area or on this globe. Father, we pray for the children of the people of the church, Lord, that are not walking with you today. Oh God, there's so many we want to see ushered into your safety. We're not the bridge, but you ask us to hold hands in that sense and stand for you. And we will stand for the person and the full deity and nature of our sovereign King, Jesus Christ. And we'll do it without any remorse, because you are everything to us. Rescue the perishing, we pray. Father, we ask, you rescued us. Thank you so much for that unspeakable gift. And I pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Care for the dying, snatch them and give. loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful.
Great song. Fanny Crosby wrote it. She couldn't see, but she could see God. And that's fabulous. So now I'm going to ask somebody who slipped out of here last week, so I couldn't ask him. Dave's going to come up, and he's going to close in prayer.
I think it was week before last. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder that we each have to be right with you. We each have to make that decision ourselves. And then we have to help others make the decision for you. Be with us as we go our various ways this week. Help us to be reminded throughout the week that you are there, you are a guide, you are a comforter. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.